After School Special Podcast. After School Special Podcast. After School Special Podcast. After School Special Podcast.
Oh shit. Oh shit. You know, I was looking yesterday. Hey, Don, I wanted to talk to you too, man. You and I both, we got to stay off that fucking weed shit, dude. Yeah, I'm done. It's a fucking drinking gallons of orange juice. No, I'm not. I'm not. I just fucking love it too much.
Smoke weed every day.
I was going to say breaking news.
With everything that's going on, you know, like this is, I think for all of us, this is our temple. Welcome, everyone, to that ass. After School Special. Yeah. I am Aaron, and then we have Staff Man and Double D.
Yo, yo. Today, on this particular episode of Ass, we're going to do Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yes. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Wanted to do Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles because we kept talking about it, but we were trying to stay away from it because it's a two-parter show within itself.
Oh, hell yeah.
Two-parter show. So today, we're going to talk about the boys, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the Green Machine, and talk about how they started. We'll break down the comic, and then we'll go from there. So let's get this turtle project started.
Well, I was going to ask, what turtle did you think you were?
Oh, Donatello.
Donatello?
Which is weird. I was always Donatello.
Yeah.
I was Michelangelo.
Donatello, man. So,
some no fucking shit. Party, dude. Man. Yeah.
Party dude. And you know, it's funny. I never worked with machines, but I always like that bow staff because it's such an easy weapon
it is.
To make.
Yeah, nunchucks are... You
know, and it's very practical.
Nunchucks are hard. I tend to hit myself in the balls constantly with them.
So let's get into the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which was created by Kevin Brooks Eastman and Pete Laird. So Eastman, who was born May 30th, 1962, started the Turtles with Pete Laird,
who is like literally a cartoon, and, like he is what I thought a nerd would be in like the 80s.
See, I haven't seen pictures of these guys, so they look exactly how
you hear him talk. There's
them.
Like a couple documentaries out there of him, and it's
Eastman.
Is he's like flashy
like cool
and everything, but Laird
Eastman would be the Stan Lee. Why Laird would be
Jack Kirby.
Jack Kirby.
They complemented each other really well.
They do. So, which is funny because they were fans, or he was a fan of Jack Kirby, who did Marvel Comics. And, you know, not to get too far off, they do homages to Jack Kirby in Turtle cartoons later on. They're homages to Jack Kirby, his real name. Jack Kirby was his pen name. So Eastman was born in Maine, Portland. He attended Westbrook High School in Westbrook, Maine, with comic book illustrator Steve Levine. You might know Steve Levine with the Turtles as well. He was an illustrator, and he was known for the lettering and coloring for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Kevin was raised and grew up a comic book fan with Jack Kirby as his idol and Kamandi as his favorite comic. Kamandi is a comic that was distributed by DC, created by Jack Kirby. Kamandi, the Last Boy on Earth, which ran from 1972 to 1978. You surely have seen that illustration somewhere before. So I do remember
it looks
that.
Looks like Tarzan on a surfboard.
That looks pretty interesting. That's the first time I've ever heard of it in my life.
I've heard of Kamandi. I haven't read it. I just heard of it.
So they were influenced by these guys, but the original Turtles, like how it was made, it was like black and white, right? Yep. It wasn't even in color.
Yes. Well, that's just giving you background that. His illustrator also went to high school with him. So they must have maintained that friendship. So speeding up, in 1984, Eastman and Laird self-published the first black and white issue of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. The 40-page oversized comic had an initial print run of 3,000 275 copies and was largely funded by a U.S. $1,000 loan from Eastman's uncle Clinton. It was published by the duo's Mirage Studios, a name chosen because of Eastman says there wasn't an actual studio, only a kitchen table, couches, and lab boards. By September 1985, their first issue had received three additional printings. So, breaking off into Pete Laird. So, Pete Laird is, he was born January 27, 1954, and this is Mr. Laird.
Oh, he seems like a nice guy.
Virgin his whole life.
That's like, he. You know who he looks like? He's related to our boy Dave Thomas. He looked like he's related to Dave Thomas, man.
Yeah.
So. I think Dave Thomas is going to be one of our mascots here. Rest in power.
Yeah, he's like our callback.
Yeah, rest in power. So Laird, born on January 27 in 1954 in North Adams, Massachusetts. Towards the end of 1983, Laird was earning just $10 an illustration from a local newspaper in Dover, New Hampshire. He was also doing illustration for fanzines like The Oracle. I don't know what that is.
I think it was an underground, The Oracle? I think it was just an underground comic book or something, wasn't it?
Okay. Yeah, he said it's a fanzine. Like, you know how in Detroit, have you ever seen those underground comics in Detroit? Yo, man, I used to get those, and I was like, this shit's so far off the raw, man. Like, it the illustrations looked like they were done. They were almost in the style of, who did we talk about that did the cat? Freddy the Cat.
Fritz the Cat. Fritz the Cat. What is it, Basky?
Basky. Yeah, Basky. That's what those comics looked like, the underground ones in Detroit, back when
I was younger. Fuck, dude, you can't find a comic book store around here anymore.
No. But they used to issue those, like, if you went to a concert or something, somebody would be out there handing them out. There was I like that illustration, that gritty, like, the fat, hairy freak brothers fucking comics.
Big fat cat tits.
Yeah, man, that shit's live.
What?
Said you can't find comics anymore. Like, are they all digital now? Or?
No, that's not. Or you just can't, nobody's can't find the brick and mortar.
Which is what I love.
Man. Oh, those particular
we can
comics.
All, just
okay.
to Up this sh- go one way real quick, just comic book shops in general was a place or a memory in my head that was so important to me as a kid. You know, Judge Dredd. Tank Girl, and that's actually
Tank Girl was good, dude. And
I was gonna say, like, you guys had the introduction with the movie. I actually had the introduction with a comic book. My brother, who is 4 years older than me, had the comic book before the movie came out, and then the cartoon I think was starting to air and whatnot, and we'll get into that later, but the comic book was the first thing that I saw, and it just blew my fucking mind. And I'm like, wow, this is, I didn't even realize kind of where they were going with it or what they were kind of making fun of or emulating in a sense. And it was just way ahead of its fucking time.
So absolutely. So you got into comic books.
Oh my God. As soon as I walked out of my mom's vagina, I had a comic book in my hand.
Yeah, it was. First comic book.
You walked out
of ass with the first comic book.
Superman issue 39 or something. I don't know.
Yeah. A little fact about Tank Girl. The artist or illustrator for that also created the characters for the gorillas. Yep. So he did that too. So anyway, we talked about Laird and Eastman, and Mirage Studios was pretty much their kitchen. So I think that's pretty clever that they came up with that name.
Yeah, that is.
They said the first issue received a number of subsequent printings over the next few years as the turtle phenom began to take off. Laird's newspaper experience led to the duo creating a 4-page press kit that, according to Flaming Carrot creator, which is kind of the Mystery Men Flaming Carrot creator, Bob Burton's own Mystery Men press kit, included a story outline and artwork that they sent to 180 TV and radio stations, as well as both the Associated Press and United Press International. This led to widespread press coverage of both the TMNT property and Mirage Studios itself, creating a demand for the interestingly titled comic that caught everyone by surprise. With the solicitation of their second issue, Eastman and Laird's Turtles comics began a meteoric rise to success, bringing in advance orders of 15,000 copies. This, Eastman has been quoted as saying, basically ended up with us clearing a profit of $2,000 a piece, which allowed us to write and draw stories full time. It was enough to pay the rent, pay the bills, and buy enough macaroni and cheese and pencils to live on.
Pussy come running.
So
that would be their
name. So the Turtle Phenomenon saw the duo invited to their first comic convention at the 10th annual Atlanta Fantasy Fair in 1984, and where they mingled with the likes of Larry Nevin, Forrest J. Ackerman, and Fred Hembeck, which I'm assuming are comic creators, with their November 1985 fifth issue, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles downsized to a more common American comic format and size, and the previous four issues were also reprinted in the size and format with new color covers. They also in 1985, Solson Publications released How to Draw Eastman and Laird's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Solson would follow this up with six issue Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles authorized martial arts training manuals, as well as one issue of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Teach Karate volume in 1987. It was an unexpected success for both Eastman and Laird. And dude, to, you know, just, I don't want to go too far off, but these guys created a world. You know what I'm saying? Like, they not only created a world, they inspired children.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, I've heard fuckstick adults right now that's like, well, you know, you need to put away comics. Dude, comics are life. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, for people, it's for me, the Turtles, because I know there's X-Men, you know, you got the Justice League, so on and so forth. The Turtles for me have been just the best thing that ever happened to me.
They are outsiders in a sense.
Yeah. Yeah, they are, man. Preach, because they're Jonathan, not. Preach. They're not. Yeah, I mean, they're not. They're not people in a sense of like the mutants. Some mutants can get away with going undercover. These dudes got to put on a fucking trench coat.
Dude, that was the best fucking costume. And I was always like, like, we'll get into the movie, but like in the the comic, you know, it's Raph with his trench coat and top hat and everything, fedora. You can't be caught wearing that shit without getting your ass kicked nowadays wearing a goddamn fedora.
Right. Hell yeah. And the best combination, if you want to talk about turtle combos, the best turtle combos was Raph and Casey Jones, because they have their own adventures. They have their own adventures in the comic. And they complemented each other well. Not Casey from the 80s TV series, because that one was more of a Dirty Harry parody, but the one from the comic. And April O'Neil in the comic wasn't
different, John.
Well, in the comic, he's more of a true vigilante, where, you know, he takes his mask off, you know, he's more humanized in the comic versus in the 87 cartoon. He's more of a Dirty Harry. The actor who is playing Casey Jones, he never takes his mask off. He goes undercover in his mask, which was
there's Foot Clan guys there's a guy over there with a hockey mask. But like, what is he doing? Yeah. He's just acting inconspicuous with a newspaper.
He went to fill out a job application with his mask on. I was just like, what the fuck? Yeah, like the 87 series was so off the wall with the characters. But ultimately what I was going to say is, you don't know who a creator is going to be until they find the right medium. And these guys found the right medium.
And it was a joke, right? It was supposed to be.
Yeah, it started as a joke. Like, you know, all right, we'll talk about these guys later, but I've always been inspired by this guy too, Jim Henson. When Jim Henson was younger, you know, his mom was getting ready to throw out a green jacket. Like, she was just like, this is garbage. And he's like, can I have it? And she's like, no, this is trash. You don't want this. And he's like, can I just have it? You know, and he takes it and he starts cutting it. He makes a body out of it. He puts some ping pong balls on it. And next thing you know, the very first Kermit the fucking Frog is invented just from garbage. You know what I'm saying? Like, creators, I'm always fascinated with that process. So it's pretty cool that these guys saw something as a joke, but later on they're like, wow, you know, this shit is gonna be impactful. Dude, I had Ninja Turtle birthday parties.
Yep. Me too.
I had Ninja Turtle birthday sheet cake.
Shit, dude, my mom made a costume. Cardboard costume, and I wanted to be a different Ninja Turtle every year. So all she had to do was change the emblem from like an R to an M, and it was always pieces of cardboard. And I just went over my body and wrapped around it, and it was like, it was perfect.
I think I still have those pictures.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude.
Fifth grade, kindergarten, yes.
Yeah, the guy who came and did my Ninja Turtle party, it was Raphael, and he came It was like a dude in a costume. Like, this was like way back when, first grade. He was in the costume. It was a black guy that's just like, oh, I'm just trying to make it. Like,
where's your John?
And he had on this sparkly turtle outfit, and the head was so misshapen, but it just made my day.
You can always tell who made their costume.
Yeah.
Who really bought like a really good
one.
And
I remember me and my cousin were looking under his shell to see if he was real. And it was great, dude. He did like magic tricks and everything. And I was like, how'd you get here? He was like, I drove in my pizza van. I was like, oh, come on, man. Like,
what are you talking about?
I was like, where's the turtle van?
1987 Datsun out there.
Right.
I'm like, where's the other three at, man? You know, like, it was, I remember that. I actually still have that on VHS.
Oh, that's awesome.
Party when he came.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, all right. To get back on it, Laird stated on several occasions that starting the Turtles was a goof. It was, and this is a quote, it was not anything we envisioned directing our lives in any way, shape, or form. It was like, hey, this looks like fun. Let's self-publish it. Let's see what happens. Suddenly, just completely out of the blue, the Turtles phenomenon emerged and really from day one just took over. It was a rapidly accelerating process which culminated in essentially taking over our lives completely. This led to increased pressure on the two creators and the team which they formed to help them, including a prolonged period, about a year, of artist block in Laird. The incredible growth and complexity of the business that sprung up around their instantly successful Turtle property led to Laird suddenly discovering, to my horror, that I no longer enjoy drawing.
Yeah.
That's fucked up. It was really a shock, because if I ever had anything that I could rely on, I love drawing. Laird and Eastman's creation went on to become a popular cultural phenomenon, forcing both of them to take regular sabbaticals from the comic to deal with the day-to-day pressure of running what had become a multimedia franchise. Eastman sold his share of the franchise, with the exception of the small continuing income participation, to Laird and the Mirage Group on June 1st, 2000. On March 1st, 2008, Laird and Mirage bought out Eastman's remaining rights and interests, and the two went their separate ways. Concerning Eastman's departure, Laird stated he believed that Eastman was just tired of it. On October 19, 2009, Laird sold the franchise to Viacom, parent company of Nickelodeon, but still retains the rights to create and publish up to 18 black and white comics based on the franchise per year. I would say, out of all of that, that was probably the only fuck up I wouldn't have did, so did the Nickelodeon. Because Nickelodeon, man, that last incarnation was so fucking bad, it just made me want to vomit, dude.
To continue to draw in the series, and that's canon, but the stuff on Nickelodeon isn't canon.
Well, I've seen some of the comics that they have now, and it's not canon. Like, spoiler alert, in one of the comics, Donnie gets killed.
Yeah.
Straight up. Like, Bebop and Rocksteady smash his shell in with a sledgehammer. Like, they fucking work his ass. So, yeah. What? So
why they gotta kill my boy?
I'm not going to bring this up yet. I'll talk about it, because I'm not exactly sure. This new series that's coming out, and this is probably one of the reasons why it's great timing that we're doing this now, but Last Ronin, that whole thing that's coming out, you guys know about that?
No.
Oh, really?
Go ahead, Last Ronin.
Know it, and you guys don't?
Oh, breaking.
You don't fucking know. I believe it's the Last Ronin. It's, you don't know who the turtle is. You don't know if it's Michelangelo, Raphael, Donatello, Leonardo. There's only one left alive. He has a black mask. He's got a sai, a bow, a katana, and a nunchuck. He's got all the weapons with him.
Yeah.
And like, it was supposed to come out. I don't know if it came out yet. I was looking to see. Maybe I'm getting the name wrong. I thought it was called Last Ronin, but
I saw that name when I was doing research.
Last Ronin. I'm on CBR.com.
Doing some of the research. It was supposed to come out this month, but I thought they pushed it back to September. But I was on eBay, and people were already selling copies of the first issue. It looks bad.
Sick, dude. Yeah, that looks sick.
It got to be
Raph. It has to be Raph,
I think it's someone, because I've been watching. Oh, that's it might be Mikey. Thought. Because it might be Mikey taking the you know, the happy-go-lucky guy and whatnot, and then making him dark
and
as shit.
Him in a,
So I was going to say, with the comic, when they first started out, we know the Ninja Turtles as, like, four different colors, you know, during the cartoon. But they started off all red.
All red. And they were serious, too. It was cussing in the comic. Yeah, they were serious. Like, it wasn't all fun and games. And I know we're going to talk about the cartoon later, but there is a end series for the 2003 series where they did a movie called Turtles Forever, and they meet all their incarnations. So it's the 2003 version, the 1987 version, and they go to Turtle Prime, which is a black and white world where they meet the black and white turtles who are the originals.
I think I've seen it.
I haven't seen it.
Randomly seen this. Yeah.
And they beat, and the black and white turtles beat the shit out of them turtles, dude. Like, they, because they're serious. They're like, what's with all this Technicolor? And the other thing, really, too, is. Yeah, right. Because Shredder at that time, he was a low level operative. Like, he wasn't, like, as popular as he. Their main villain, you know, like, he would come fight, but I mean, you know, it was not like one of those big
you're
things.
Talking about in the original story, like in the early comics
type, man. Let me give you those.
Yeah, because I thought in the original story, or the original, like, first couple issues, I thought Shredder, well, the Foot Clan, but also the Shredder was the main villain, but then they branched off into other characters.
Yeah, like Shredder
because he died, like, right away
started. Yeah. So, yeah, they so Shredder was ranked in ING's 30. He was ranked 39th as the greatest comic book villain of all time. So that's that. In the original comic book, Mirage Comic, Oroku Saki is the younger brother of Oroku Nagi, who had been killed by fellow ninja Hamato Yoshi, the owner of Splinter, the turtle's mentor, in a feud over a woman named Tang Shin, resulting in Yoshi fleeing with Shin to the United States. Always angry at the death of his older brother, Saki joined the Foot Clan and trained to be a ninja. He quickly became one of their deadliest warriors and rose up in the ranks and was chosen to lead the Foot's American branch, operating in New York under the name the Shredder. Saki used the opportunity to avenge his brother's killing by killing Yoshi and Shin. Under Saki's leadership, the Foot participated in a variety of criminal activities, including drug smuggling, arms running, and assassination. Wow, so this is a little more in depth than the cartoon.
It turned into Narcos.
Yeah.
13 years later, Saki was challenged by the Ninja Turtles, who were the result of an accident exposing four ordinary turtles to radioactive waste. They were trained by Yoshi's pet rat Splinter, who also been mutated by the same substance, to avenge his former master. After a lengthy rooftop battle where Saki seemed to be winning, Leonardo managed to plunge his sword through Saki's torso. Defeated, he was offered the opportunity to commit seppuku, ritual suicide, but Shredder refused and detonated a thermite grenade in an attempt to take their lives as well. But at the last second, Donatello used his bow staff to knock Shredder off the building to his death. However, it was not yet the
end of the Ninja Turtles were like, you got to perform seppuku. We're going to allow you to kill yourself in order to.
No, Splinter. I think Splinter was the one who told him.
That's
like,
still
hey,
really
you can,
fucked
you
up for a kid's comic book.
However, so here's what it said. However, it was not yet the end of the Shredder. He returned on Christmas Eve, seemingly resurrected by the army of Foot Ninjas, severely beating Leonardo and burning down the apartment of the turtles in the movie.
Damn, just in
ally April O'Neil, forcing them to go into hiding outside the city. A year later, in the story Return to New York, the turtles return to settle the score with the Shredder. Leonardo faces off against Oroku Saki alone, during which Saki revealed he was brought back to life by a technique using worms feeding on his remains and recreating his cells to reform his body. In the battle, Leonardo decapitates the villain, finally killing him, and the four turtles burn his body at the Hudson.
They made sure that motherfucker was
there. Yeah.
How do you get brought back by worms?
But he had another. Okay, I don't want to keep going into this. He had another.
Oh, please do.
So Shredder, so he wasn't a low level operative. He just wasn't the main focus of the.
No, he rose up.
Yes, because. You know, then you got the Utroms, you know, and then that's like Krang's people. Well, Krang wasn't an Utrom. the Utroms were something else. And then Krang was introduced in the...
Krang was... There's different comics where Krang is a part of that group. And like, that was... It's not that important. Fuck!
No, but I got you, dude. All I that. You. Yeah, I wasn't sure because there's so many versions that it's kind of hard to say what's true and what's not true. I mean, what's canon and what's not canon. So, because the Utroms were the ones who created the Ooze, you know.
And they're
so
aliens, that's what right? Was.
They're alien. They're an alien race. And, dude, we haven't even hit the tip of the fucking iceberg. You still got the Triceratons. Yep. Which were like a
warlike. And that's where you lose me, because I didn't know any of that stuff.
Oh, there's the Battle Nexus where they go and battle different aliens throughout. It was like a big battle thing. Like in the series 2003, Hamato Yoshi battled in the Battle Nexus. Like he was a international or universal champion. And the Turtles found that out later on because they consider him their grandfather, I guess, because Splinter would be their father.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's a whole lot with that, man. You know what the first comic I was that got into?
What was that?
The Mr. Jeez. T comic. It was the Mr. T comic, dude. Because that's when it was the Mr. T comic and the T-Force, I think. And in that
And the T-Force?
There was a Marvel... Mr. T and the T-Force. Yeah, it was like his... group of
well, like English breakfast, black, green.
Earl Grey.
He's a demolition expert.
So in that Mr. T comic, there was a spoof of the Fantastic Four, which had the family from Married with Children as the characters on there. And that's when I was like, wow, man, you know, because Al Bundy was Mr. Fantastic. Kelly was the Thing.
Oh, really?
And Bud was
Married with Children the had Human their own Torch. Comic. I remember that.
Yeah. So I don't know who Peggy must have been the Invisible Woman. She had to have been. I really liked that. And I was like, man, let me get into this. Mm-hmm. And then my uncle gave me an old EC comic. Now, EC created like all the horror comics and stuff like that. So I started reading the EC comics, which was like Creepshow.
Did they do the Tales from the Crypt comic? Who did that one?
I think EC did Creepshow or Tales from the Crypt.
Yeah, I remember reading that.
Because the Creepshow is its own movie. Like, if you ever seen the Creepshow, like, movies. Yeah. So back in the... Damn, we keep going down these rabbit. We should call this the rabbit hole. That's all we do is just go down different rabbit holes. So
that's what's so good about a podcast, man. You just roll with it. Yeah. But I wanted to draw. Like when I saw Batman, the Tim Burton movie, and Turtles, they were equally responsible for me getting into the comics and buying toys. Like crazy. I wanted to play with the toys and draw them.
Yeah. As you guys saw in my collection, like, I play with those fucking things. Like, when I have downtime, I'm just like...
Oh, you don't just look at them? You actually play?
Hell no. I take them out the box. Like, you know, I play with it. Like, because for me, you know, my partner in crime upstairs asked me, like, what do I want to do with them, like, after I've departed? I was like, donate them to a hospital. You know, let some kids have some fun with them.
John, you're funny. So instead of donating your organs, you're donating toys.
Oh, no. Well, my goal is... Well, since I don't want to be a Debbie Dab. First, so if we're going to go a little macabre. So we've talked about what would be what I wanted. So I was like, first thing, let's bury me in a crypt with my toys like an Egyptian.
Oh, hell no.
She was like, no. I don't think your insurance will allow that. So then I was like,
that's hilarious.
So then I was like, well, just donate them, you know, when I'm gone or whatever. My organs, I am an organ donor, but my end wishes is to have my skeleton preserved and sent to a all-girl college. Oh. So I can be like that skeleton hanging up in the corner.
I was going to say, I wanted to be stuffed like one of those animals. Yeah, I wanted to be stuffed like one of those animals and propped up.
Yeah, be stuffed and mounted like like when we were first together, I was like, so what if you die before me? Like, what's the game plan? She's like, don't worry, I've already have a stipulation.
Oh, she has arrangements.
And the arrangement is that when she dies, I'm to be buried with her.
Oh, shit.
Like, you ever seen the Mr. Burns when Smithers is like, It'll be an honor to be your heir after you pass. And Burns is like, oh, Smithers, I have different plans for you. And it's like a coffin attachment with Mr. Burns. Smithers is down there. Yeah.
Aaron, so, yeah. Let me guess. You want to be freeze frame like fucking Han Solo?
No,
like
I'm going to get... Well, I'm not going to need my dick and balls anymore. I'm going to get them cut off, put into a bowl, and then put... Yeah. On my brother's table, because he'll probably live longer than I am, and it's going to be a little engraving saying "suck my dick" on there. And I'm going to do a sky burial.
Ooh.
Oh yeah, dude. In all seriousness, I want to be. I want my ashes infused with the tree, because they can do that. I would like to
like
be
weed
like,
or a real tree.
A real tree. Oh, yeah. I don't want to be smoked. I mean,
damn, Don, good.
No, man, like, they have these forests where you can, forest or whatever, where you can have your ashes or remains nutriently infused with a tree or something. And that's what I would like. Like, I would like to be a tree, dude. Like, later on in life, I can just...
Yeah, it's...
still serve a purpose,
my whole thing
dude.
is just like... Well, the whole sky burial, everyone thinks that it's like getting thrown out of a plane.
I was imagining...
I was thinking Weekend at Bernie's. Like, when they said it, like, throw your dead body out.
Better yet, you're family of four. Driving the plane.
No, it's... basically, what you do is you lay the person's body out on a hill and vultures pick it clean. It's a Native American way of burial, I guess, but I'm not sure which tribe does it. But I was like, fuck it. Yo, let's do that. And then birds could shit me out.
That was a Tales from the Crypt episode.
Oh, really?
No
sky burial?
Yeah. The fucking this convict tries to escape this cop, and the cop handcuffs himself to the convict, but the convict kills him, so he has to drag the cop's body Ooh. Through the desert. Meanwhile, he's being hunted by a hungry vulture, and the vulture is hunting this guy down. It's Kyle MacLachlan.
I think
you know
I have
that
seen
is.
That episode.
And he's like, you're not gonna get me or whatever. So he's being drained by the desert, the sun and the heat. He finds a can top and a stick, and he's trying to use it as a hatchet to cut off the cop's wrist so he can make it to Mexico. Long story short, he cuts off his own wrist. He falls, breaks his neck, but he's still alive. And the vulture just swoops in and starts picking at him.
Damn.
And he dies like that. It's such a crazy.
Have you guys seen True Detective?
Carry On Death. That's the name of it or something.
Have you guys seen True Detective Season 2?
I have. Season 2 was fucking terrible. I guess, but to touch more on the comics and everything, the different versions of so
get it
the
from
way
the sink. You're not getting
the
water.
Way that you kind of like we were saying, they all had red. The only way that you could tell them apart was through their weapons. And so Michelangelo having the nunchucks, Raphael having the size, Leonardo having the katanas,
twin katanas,
and then Donatello having the bow. That's it for anyone that doesn't really know Ninja Turtles. It's, you know, if you don't know Ninja Turtles, well, actually, probably the younger people wouldn't, because all the shit that they put out now is just kind of terrible.
I know, man. It's kind of like, and I mentioned it in our text, like Transformers. Like, there's so many different versions that the actual version is what you should go with, because you know everybody has a different interpretation. Like, Bumblebee doesn't talk in this one, or Bumblebee's supposed to talk. Oh, he uses the radio to talk this time. Like, come on, man. Like, make up your freaking mind. You know, is Megatron a gun, or is he going to be a tank, or they don't know what the fuck.
And that's all so, Michael Bay, just, and we'll probably, I know you didn't really want to talk about it, but with his fucking version. Yeah. His vile sin.
Oh, the best version?
Oh, no, that was the best
version. Oh, the best version? Did you see those turtles, dude?
Speaking of macabre.
How do they almost have noses? That's beyond me.
So many fucking problems with that movie, too. You could talk to the fucking crew. The cast said how terrible it was. Anyways, you might as...
Shredder was going to originally be a white dude. That guy from Drive Angry.
What, Nicolas Cage? Nicolas Cage?
No, not Nicolas Cage.
Okay, I would have kind of
But
liked
the guy
that.
Who was chasing Nicolas Cage.
Oh,
he was going to be
the
Shredder.
Yes.
William something. I forget his name. But
we could probably jump into the cartoon a little bit, because that it basically explains the comic and the fact that it's still going on today. and the hype that The Last Ronin is getting right now, because the other thing too is that they're hinting towards the fact that Shredder has returned.
Yes. So in the cartoon, there's a couple variations. So first variation is the multicolored bandanas. You know, blue for Leonardo, red for Raph, orange for Michelangelo, and purple for Donatello. The other thing, too, is they combined two characters, Splinter and Hamato Yoshi. So what they had it was is they were both training for the Foot Clan. And what ends up happening is Hamato Yoshi commits a great dishonor. He ends up going to America with no money. He's living in the sewer where he finds four pet turtles. And he's feeding the turtles and the rats in the sewer. So as the turtles got his DNA, they evolved into humanoid turtles, whereas he was feeding the rats, so he devolved or changed into a rat. And Splinter, he changed his name to Splinter because, you know, he used to bite wood, like in his kung fu moves, he could bite through wood and shit like that. So, and he said he named the turtles after the four Renaissance artists, which, come on, guys, if you don't know who the Renaissance artists are now, we're not going to keep doing it. So that's what ended up
happening. Well, to also touch on that, four humors is brought up a lot too, with groups of four. Even you brought up Fantastic Four, it's the same thing. And I'll just say them real quick, and you know, maybe I could touch on them a little bit later. But you have the four humors, which are like Leo is phlegmatic, which is more.
Yeah. What does that mean, though? Yeah.
Oh,
what does that
mean, though? Yeah, Aaron, we don't know.
Yeah. Hold on. I'm getting it. Because I wrote it down and didn't put the explanation on there. Phlegmatic Four Fundamental. The lead turtle, Leonardo, has a personality based around the phlegmatic humor represented by phlegm, or the element of water. Phlegmatic personality tends to be steadfast, honor-bound, while calm and introverted. The wacky Michelangelo is more of a sanguine personality, being the one of the four turtles to constantly crack jokes. Sanguine is a temperament associated with blood and the element of air. The temperament is commonly the most childlike and carefree. So like Michelangelo, what's his name? Human Torch. Like it just.
Yeah. They're the comedy. They're like the one that breaks the tension. So, which is, you know, I know I'll let you get back to that, but Rob Paulsen is the voice actor for Raph on the animated series in 87. He came back and voiced Donatello on the 2012 series. So that's the same voice. And if you don't know who Rob Paulsen is, he also was the voice of Pinky in Pinky and the Brain.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Him love and
Well, Pinky another Brain, little quiz thing: the guy that voiced Leo in the 87 version also voiced the what's his name? Ah, crap. But he's the lead voice, the lead character in Akira, the dub version.
Yeah, yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. Okay.
The dub version, but that doesn't matter so much. The so the hot-headed Raphael falls under the choleric temperament, presented by yellow bile in the element of fire. Choleric personalities are the more ambitious and leader-like, but easily angered. You know, like colicky baby, or, you know, like something like colic.
But he was more, but would you say in the 87 version, he wasn't as angry as later on? He was more just a jackass. Like, he was kind smart of,
he, his know, humor like, was more, what's the word, deadpan. Which is kind of like a choleric, you know, like temperament too. And then the Quiet Donatello represents the melancholic temperament associated with black bile and the element of earth. Melancholic personalities are often more introverted and brooding, being extremely pragmatic and susceptible to depression. Okay. Well, with that being is like the genius that follows with the depression, like myself, you know, the genius that I am. And you know, the depression follows. Or maybe it's undepressed because of how stupid I am. I don't know.
But he's the lonely genius, because everybody in there had some sort of love connection, with the exception of Donnie. The only one who had, because if you look at the 87 series, since we're talking about it, the neutrinos were those alien teenagers that came. Mikey fell in love with the female on there. Then there was Mona Lisa, who was like this reptile girl. that Raph fell in love with. And then there was Lotus, who was the female ninja that was training under Shredder. Leo fell in love with her. I don't remember hearing or thinking or seeing Donnie fall in love with any character on there until 2012, when he was somewhat smitten with
them. I want to know something. Can the turtles have kids?
You mean, do the turtles have dicks?
Yeah, do they?
They touch on that in Michael Bay's movie, because Mikey has a crush on April, and they talk about how turtles can do it. Like, he's like, I feel my shell. Oh,
Jesus Christ!
Yeah.
Wow.
So, I would think.
I don't know, man. The turtles were farting in that movie too. I was just like, fuck Michael Bay, dude. Like, he created a movie. He created a movie for 13-year-old boys, and he's gone on record saying that. Like, my movies are full of girls and explosions.
It's movies that you want to, you know, like, go, wow, explosion, and then, ooh, I'm going to jerk off later. It's, yeah.
Yeah. Because Megan Fox.
My favorite porn.
Yeah, because Megan Fox was in Transformers, the first one that came out that Bay did, and he should have left it at that, but no, he had to go ahead and bring her back for the second one, only to not bring her for the third one. And then he brings her up. They have a falling out, and then he's like, well, I need you for Ninja Turtles, because we got to get these little boys hard.
Let's get these peepees hard.
It's just like, what the fuck? Yep.
God damn.
So it's just crazy to me, man. Like, I really hated that movie. And the original concept that they were going to do for the turtle movie with Michael Bay was they came from a turtle planet. That was going to be the original concept. And I remember everybody was up in arms. Like, the turtles were to come from a turtle planet. There was turtle girls and all kinds aliens, of shit,
which we will touch on, too, because they decided to add a girl into a live-action series, which only lasted one season.
Back to the sewer. Venus.
Oh, I think we're actually thinking of, because there was a live-action version by Saban. Are we thinking the same thing?
Yes. That's the same one, because those turtles, Back to the Sewer, they also did a crossover episode with the Power Rangers.
Oh, my God.
I remember that.
But it's, I guess the, what is it?
Saban was just like, let's make this money.
Hell yeah. I remember that. They used to come on Fridays.
I never watched that fucking thing.
I saw one time. That was the age range where I was starting to just edge out and just look at women and...
Yeah, Saban was creating all the Power Ranger knockoffs. So they had Power Rangers, Big Bad Beetleborgs,
Troopers,
the Masked Rider, which was Kamen Rider, and then
VR Troopers.
Yeah, and Power Rangers is still going the fuck on.
Yep.
It's still going on. Like, what is it? Power Rangers Super Ninja Karate Force. It's been going on so long that they've looped back around.
Power Rangers.
That's how long it's 31 been.
31 flavors.
Yeah. And that shit, man.
I still love that show, by the way.
Yeah.
Love.
I remember Power Rangers.
Well, that
that's a whole episode.
Well, I was going to say, technically, if you look at it, the timeline in the 90s and everything after the, and we'll touch more on the movies next episode, but after the second movie, Power Rangers were the new thing.
Yeah, man. Like, Power Rangers came out, and I remember parents were protesting because my kid is doing karate at home and he's damaging shit.
I used to be that kid.
I'm not going to lie, and I'm surprised I haven't bought them yet. The Zords. I wanted the Zords so bad, I got my shit stolen.
I'll never forget it. After I graduated fifth grade, when you got to clear out your locker.
Yeah.
Someone cleared me out and took all the fuck out. I was so mad.
Fuck.
I remember my favorite fucking Power Ranger moment is when the Green Ranger got introduced. And he had
that dumbass flick of
flute. Yeah.
Pretty much Godzilla.
I was always a Red Ranger Jason man. So when that guy, Green Ranger Tommy came, I was jealous. I was like, man, fuck you. Jason is the leader, bastards. I'm trying to
take it. Like, they were just going.
But of course, I was always
Tyrannosaurus Rex, Pterodactyl, Triceratops. Mastodon.
Power Rangers along with Jurassic Park. That's how I kind of got into dinosaurs, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was always a, well, so with Ninja Turtles, you think pizza would be as big as it is right now?
Oh, dude. What was the official pizza,
Pizza Hut,
of the Turtles? Do you guys know? Yes. Yeah, Pizza Hut was the official one in
after the movies, but Domino's.
Well, in the original movies, but do you know what pizza they ate in the first movie?
Well, it was in New York. They had all types of pizza. And
Domino's.
It was Domino's, okay.
It was Domino's, because the pizza guy had on a blue and red jacket.
And that was the guy who actually played Michelangelo, too.
Yeah. He's like, come on, man. He was like, I couldn't find a place. He said, wise man once said that, what the fuck did he say? Wise man once said, never pay full price for late pizza or some shit. That movie, you know what, dude? Like, that movie was very emotional. Like, it wasn't just a traditional action movie. Like, it was emotional. Like, I, dude, when they kidnapped Splinter, I was crying. Aww. You know what I'm saying? Like, that Splinter, whoever played that Splinter, there's only two Splinters that I like. The Splinter in the first movie and the Splinter in TMNT, which was the CGI fourth movie that came out. That one was done by Mako. Mako was the voice of Splinter in that movie. And if you don't know who Mako is, Mako was a phenomenal actor. Mm-hmm. He played the wizard in Conan, and he also was Samurai Jack. Ah, Samurai!
I had a question, though. I don't remember this, but who's the oldest? Like, are the Turtles twins, or...
All right, so technically they're not really brothers. They're all different types
of turtles.
Okay. But the oldest would be Raph. But Leo would be the leader. Raph would be the leader, but he doesn't know how to control his anger.
I have tried to channel your anger, Raphael. But more remains. Anger clouds the mind. Turned inward, it is an unconquerable enemy.
If he could just keep his anger in check, he would be a phenomenal
leader. Like the Wolverine of that.
Yeah, yeah, that's what he is. He's pretty much the Wolverine of the group. And Mikey's the youngest, which would make Donnie the third oldest. The third.
Just to touch on this real quick. You know the actor Sam Rockwell? He's in the movie Ninja Turtles. Yeah. I just remembered he's the gang member that introduces Danny to everyone.
Oh, yeah. He's the one smoking the cigarettes down near the arcade. Yeah.
Omegs, even though there's, women around here, you could have it.
I like that. You know what, dude? I like
Please
that car.
Please do the
I
rest
like...
of this episode.
Well, just like
in
this, I can do that. I can do this for you. Yeah, it's my Robert De Niro and the Irishman. Yes, I can do that for you.
Elias Koteas, I think, or Koteas, who played Casey Jones. I liked him in that movie, dude.
Oh, yeah.
I really liked that Casey Jones. I liked when him and Raph were going at it, and he hit Raph with that cricket bat. And Raph is running around New York in the trench coat. That's that dude, low key. That's the action figure I want. I want that one so fucking bad, dude. It's hard to find it, but I'm gonna get it.
Every episode, John has to secretly talk about the toys he's gonna acquire.
Well, I downloaded this app. I sent you guys a link. It's a shout out to Megalopolis Toys. Oh my God. God, they have every toy you could think of. G.I. Joe's, fucking Thundercats, and they're not expensive. They're pre-orders, but they're not expensive. I'm looking forward to spending a lot of money on these next month.
I'm telling. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, that's all right. It is what it is. They're the guys. This is the company that's going to make the Barnyard
Commandos. No shit. Yeah, because I was going to actually, the thing that I'm trying to save up for right now is the X-Men Sentinel. It's like $300, 18-inch.
Yeah.
X-Men Sentinel. Yeah.
Whoa.
I'm trying to show you guys at least some of the articulation.
And all the listeners, I have to say this every episode, but don't worry, we fuck.
Yeah. So,
they got Madballs, Barnyard Commandos.
Yeah. That's what I was saying, man. Like,
I had a quick question about the Turtles. Since you guys.
You're Shredder, dude.
Shredder is shredded.
Dude, that's only $45.
Well, we're all speechless.
No, I was just like, like,
yeah, well, yeah, yeah.
You guys mentioned it earlier, but you said, like, once the Turtles kind of took off with the comics and the movies, the creators kind of handed it off to other creators.
It became so overwhelming that, as I read earlier, you know, Eastman, who was it? Laird was like, hey, I'm out, dude. Or Eastman was like, yo, I'm out. And Laird is pretty much still drawing the comics on his own time. So they turned it over to Nickelodeon, which Nickelodeon. Okay, so my thoughts on Nickelodeon, like, I don't like Nickelodeon now, but I liked Nickelodeon when we were younger. And right now, they've just fucking, oh my God.
Are we just getting too old to appreciate this?
Well,
don't you think kids
20
years from now are going to say the same
thing? We're right. They're wrong.
I bet you. Yeah, no, we're the ones that are right.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess each interpretation. I was just going to say, like, Nickelodeon, back when we were younger, dude, had, like, substance. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, you had, like, Snick, Legend of the Hidden Temple. You had Hey Dude, fucking Rugrats.
Was Pete and Pete a part of that?
Pete and Pete was a part of that time. Yeah. Are You Afraid of the Dark, which was on SNICK, and fucking Double Dare.
Clarissa knows.
Clarissa explains it all.
Explains it all.
Yeah,
okay.
Man, they had some good stuff. Now they have like fucked up shit like the Bravermans and the Thundermans and the fucking, no, Witches of Waverly Place is Disney, but that's my.
Well, if you look at it.
Well, the real question I had.
No, I was going to say it's a generational thing. Probably the generation before us was kind of the same with what they saw and everything. But I think it is developing into something completely different when it comes to entertainment for kids. You're looking at platforms that are, you know, my issue is that the imagination of kids today is shortened a lot by TikToks, by YouTubes and whatnot. Imagination in general, I think, is kind of getting just drowned out in a sense where 20 years from now, no one other than it's going to be the three of us in or on a porch just yelling at people is basically what it's going to be, because I don't think you're going to have, once our generation is gone, you won't have things like Ninja Turtles. You won't have things like Transformers.
No.
You know, unless some of the earlier, like the what is it, the Generation Z keeps up with that stuff, I don't see it happening. Because
it's going to turn into, and it's a movie reference that the same generation we're talking about is not going to get. It's going to turn into that utopia, like on fucking Demolition Man, where they don't have sex anymore. They fucking put their hands together and they fucking, be well, that shit. Like, they listen to retro commercials on the radio as top five music and shit. Like, that's what's going to end up happening. And our generation is going to be the sewer people downstairs.
Fucking smoking cigars and everything, drinking beer.
Yeah, yeah. The Dennis
Leary. Oh, God, I hope I don't end up like Dennis Leary.
like the Dennis Leary group. Because my thing is like, it's really this, I don't want to be a downer, dude, but it's really disheartening because some shit that you should be able to get, you're not getting anymore. You know what I'm saying? Like, we've had this conversation off mic, like, being able to talk about some shit and, like, okay, Turtles, for instance, will probably get to the point where it's like, yo, man, it's irrelevant. There's no girls on there that are doing anything of, you know, and I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with having representation, but there is going to come a time when things like that are going to have to represent what the world we live in is like. My question is, do you go back and change all of it for something like that? I'm not saying that you shouldn't, but, you know, if the option is there, do you change it? Like, do the Turtles? I don't know, man. It's just, I don't know. It's kind of hard, man. You know, like,
all we can do is pass off this information to our kids. It'd be like, because I don't think enough of our generation cares about this stuff anymore, except for a few nostalgia nerds like, you know, us that are obsessed with this type of stuff. Yeah. And it, you know, and we'll touch more like next week when we're talking about the movies, because I think for me, the movies were the pinnacle. Well, at least the first three.
Yes.
And then even though the third one was a shit show, but like my whole thing is finding those moments. Like I'm this weekend, I am going to, in between watching Steven Seagal movies and eating lots of pizza, I am going to watch the three tournaments.
Glimmer Man.
I'm talking about the new Steven Seagal movies. Those are fucking stupid, and I'm going to enjoy the shit out of them.
Steven Seagal is such a fucking moron. But you know what? I'm going to say this. As soon as they started coming with the assault charges and everything like that, he hightailed it right to Russia and changed his fucking citizenship that. Like,
he's a Russian citizen now?
Yeah,
because what happened with Seagal, and I could be wrong, you know, if anybody's listening and knows the right stuff, you can email us, but what I believed happened was he got brought up on, first off, he used to beat up stuntmen. Like, stuntmen, they're there for stunts. They're not there to actually get their ass beat. Seagal was beating the shit out of stuntmen, and then I think he assaulted a woman, too.
Is this allegedly?
Well, this is allegedly. Yeah, we'll say allegedly.
Allegedly. Oh, okay. Yeah, allegedly this had happened.
That's what I'm trying to get sued.
Seagal
is the closest thing to a Ninja Turtle. He's got the body of, you know, a turtle, and he knows what fake karate or something. I'm sure if I said that, he's gonna find me and fucking break my wrist.
Who beat his ass in real life? Didn't Chuck Norris kick his ass for real?
It's Chuck Norris.
There's an interview, like the one interview that he did, he's like being asked, like, do you think Michael Jaleel White? Do you think you could beat him? And he's just like scoffs at her. He's like, what are you talking about? What are you trying to? That's my Steven Seagal. What are you talking about?
That's pretty good.
And it's like, no, yeah, he could beat the shit out of you, Steven. Like, most people could. I could beat him in a foot race going like 20 feet.
Oh my God. Have you seen him talking run? About? It's hilarious.
He's got his hands.
He doesn't move his arms.
Wasn't he in a movie with a Wayans? Like, didn't he do Glimmer a movie Man. With a Wayans?
Yes.
Like, Glimmer Man. Yeah, like, the Wayans were in everything back then. Like, everything.
Yeah, man.
Like, but real quick, Michael J. White played, like you said, Spawn. Dude, he's an unsung hero.
Mortal Kombat
of action.
Dude,
hero
he's the reason why Mortal Kombat came back. One of the reasons.
Yeah, he plays Jax, right?
He was in Dark Knight too.
Dude, he's a fucking talent.
Yeah, he played Gamble in Dark Knight. You know, like he needs a Marvel character. Like he needs a Marvel character.
He could have been Blade. I give him Blade.
Yo, man, he could have been Blade. And what the fuck did they do with Blade? They threw Blade.
No, Blade's coming back.
A comet. Well, I'm just saying that when this Marvel cinematic, when this Marvel cinematic universe took place, I'm just saying this. I got two things to say. One thing's a little bit dark, and the other thing is kind of funny. So the first thing I'm going to say,
baby,
is. The first thing is Blade needs to get a lot more credit than, because it wasn't fucking Iron Man that started
the Marvel
cinematic universe. It should have been Blade. Wesley Snipes as Blade was probably one of the best movies that the first one. I like that one.
Well,
like,
was Punisher the first rated R comic book movie, or was it
better? with Dolph Lundgren?
Yeah, Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah, well, that was rated R, right? Because I was going to say PG-13. Blade was the first, like, legitimate one.
Yeah.
It was. Oh, well, then Blade.
Blade should have got a lot more credit than it did. And then they kind of just swept it under the rug, you know, after Blade Trinity. And then, you know, let's talk about fucking Ryan Reynolds. That motherfucker just had three goddamn tries at being a superhero. He was in Blade Trinity. Then... Wolverine Origins, then Green Lantern, and Deadpool. And I'm just like, yo, man, like, that motherfucker got three tries, so there should be other people getting more chances, too. You know what I'm saying? And Deadpool is a good match. Like, I think Deadpool is a good match. There's the Marvel Universe is so vast that there's a character.
Well, I was
going to
say, technically, the first Marvel movie, well, I don't know if it was the first.
Howard the Duck?
No, Captain America.
Oh, yeah.
It was terrible.
It was horrible. Wasn't he wearing
a
helmet?
Actually,
like, not his
traditional
helmet?
Oh, no, you're
helmet.
Talking the TV show. The movie, he was wearing, the original, like, with the scales and everything.
Yeah.
But in the TV show, it was a bike helmet.
A bike helmet.
The new Blade is going to be, I can't say his name right or do it justice, Marshala Ali.
Oh, you're talking about Marshala Ali. Yeah.
I think
that's good. Like, if, for people who don't know, he was in True Detective.
Season 3.
Homeland. No, not Homeland. Not Homeland. Kevin Spacey
was in
Moonlight.
What was it? Moonlight. He's a great actor.
House of Cards. That's what I was thinking.
House of Cards. I liked him in House of Cards. That was a great show.
It was until somebody ruined it.
Like, Let's talk about that later, but I mean, fuck, man. Like, I just... And the thing is allegedly. I like okay. and Actually, I, and I, say, and that's I still where watch The Usual Suspects.
Fuck Kevin Spacey,
yeah.
dude.
Yeah.
Hey guys, it's Aaron. You think you could do me a big fave? Wherever you're listening to this right now, rate and subscribe. Find new episodes where you listen to podcasts and look for us on all the social media sites and Gmail at afterschoolspecialpodcast@gmail, afterschoolspecialpodcast at Instagram and Facebook, and afterschoolspe3 on Twitter. The fact that it's still going on today and the fact that it's still going on today and the fact that it's still going on today and